Okay, everybody, welcome back once again to Tech Gumbo. I'm Haggai Davis II, along with Haggai Davis III, and we'd like to welcome you into our show where we like to talk about all things technology related, but do so in a relevant and interesting way with the occasional laugh. We don't use geek speak or a whole bunch of acronyms. We just want to talk about tech in a way that's important to you. We're a conversational show about the past, present, and future of all things technology in a topical, interesting, and digestible way. So, Mr. Davis, how are you today?
I'm doing great. One of the things we wanted to start off this week was the Saints game. The Saints game specifically on Nickelodeon. That was so much fun.
It really was. I'm here to tell you... I can't tell you that I've watched Nickelodeon since either, you know, that you were little kids. And I watched the fourth quarter on Nickelodeon, and it was fun.
Yeah, it really was. The announcers, it wasn't the stereotypical, you know, generic NFL broadcast. They had one of the Nick stars on, and she was 15, and she was so excited. And they had Nate Burleson, a former wide receiver, on. He was really great about being able to explain something in a relatable way. It just had so much energy to it, and it was great.
I love the slime cannons in the end zone when somebody scored a touchdown. And then the SpongeBob SquarePants popping up from time to time, and in, you know, the squiggly lines out in the middle of the field. This was, you know, it was fun to watch.
I think that's was the biggest thing for me, is that NFL games, especially, you know, I've only been watching for about 15 years, but I could imagine after 30 years or 50 years, they get a certain sameness to them. You know what you're going to get. You've seen them on CBS. You see them on ABC. You see them on NBC, and they just get a bit repetitive. And so to have some new life brought into them, to just have this change up, it really felt exciting.
It was just interesting. I mean, I love the NFL. I love watching football, and it was just different and creative. And, you know, and it wasn't this, you know, me and my broadcast partner here, the Hall of Famer, blah, 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 blah. Just, it wasn't buttoned up corporate the way the NFL broadcast has become. It was unique. And the fact that Sean Payton got slimed after the game just was, it was cool.
Oh, I definitely think that they realized that they have something here. And one of the things we were talking about earlier is just that they missed some opportunities. That, you know, they only slimed Sean Payton at the end, but what if they'd have slimed the player of the game? Or what if they'd have, you know, had one or two other things here and there? I think this was a fantastic first step for them.
Drew Brees' kids were there at the game. They could have had Drew Brees' kids dump slime on dad on the field.
Oh, man, that'd have been so much fun.
How cool would that have been? I mean, and look, we're not the only ones who think this way, because the ratings are in. And let me tell you, there were more people that watched the Saints game on Nick than anything that Nick has broadcasted in over 4 years.
Yeah, which is crazy to have that kind of outlier.
You had 2.06 million viewers watching the game on Nickelodeon. You had, there were 24 million who watched it in total. So just under 10% of the total viewers were watching this game on Nickelodeon.
And I think it's also fantastic because this is the NFL introducing itself to the next generation. We, you know, the NFL is sometimes viewed as the older league. The NBA is the new, young, hip league. And so the NFL had to do something different in order to stand out in some way, had to attract those eyeballs to their product. And I really think that this was something that they can build on. I'm really excited about what they do. They just captured that, like, joy of viewing something for the first time through the eyes of a child, that like just exuberance about it.
I loved it. I thought it was just fantastic. I'm a fan of what they did. Now, am I going to watch every game going forward that way? No. It was fun, and it would be fun to see, you know, maybe another game once every now and then that way. But it was just fun.
Yeah, I think, you know, once or twice a season, just enough to like keep that going. Obviously, I was still will tune in for the majority of my games in the normal place. But yeah, just every once in a while, you know, whenever it makes sense. I'm so hopeful about the future.
Yes. Well, here's one guy who's maybe not as hopeful about the future right now. A certain Mr. Stephen Thomas. He's a programmer living in San Francisco who just so happens to have a little over 7,000 bitcoins.
For those of you who are keeping track at home, Bitcoin is worth somewhere just shy of 40 grand per Bitcoin. So 7,000 bitcoins times 40 grand puts him somewhere in the neighborhood of $220, $250 million, depending on the exact day.
The problem is he put the password to his Bitcoin account in a small hard drive called the Iron Key. And he wrote the password to his Iron Key down, but he can't find that.
Yup.
And you only get 10 guesses, and he's already gone through 8.
After 10 guesses, it is gone.
$220 to maybe $250 million is sitting out there waiting for him to have a revelation as to what the password might have been. But he's not alone. That's the bigger story here.
Right. There's about estimated 20% of all Bitcoin is either lost or stranded or inaccessible. And that's is close to $140 billion exists, but it's just inaccessible.
So there's roughly 18.5 million Bitcoins floating around in the ether out there. And so when you have 20% locked up, gone, never to be brought back to life, that's $140 billion. That's a lot of money.
Yeah. And it also is interesting because of the impacts that would have on the value of Bitcoin. If 20% of it is inaccessible, that means you're driving down the supply, which would push up the demand. If suddenly 10% of that, or, you know, if suddenly half of that missing Bitcoin was dumped back into the market, you'd probably push your value down by a lot. And so maybe Bitcoin isn't too upset about it because you're kind of restricting your total supply, and so people want it more.
You know, there's several other examples. Somebody back in 2011, he lost 800 bitcoins, but at the time that was only worth $25 million. So you can see what the value has done just in 9 years of bitcoins, going up by a factor of 10, basically.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it'll probably not stay at 40K. It'll probably go back down again to where it was sitting before, but maybe it won't. Maybe it'll keep going up, and it'll just be more and more taunting to this poor guy who has, you know, an unlimited supply of money, basically, that is, you know, 10 keystrokes, 15 keystrokes away from him to find, and he just can't.
He's had all kind of people saying, look, have you just tried the password? Just P-A-S-S-W-O-R-D. There have been people who have offered, look, for 10% of it, I'll hack into it and get your money back for you. And he's looking at him like, you know, you're crazy. I'm not going to let you take another swing. I've only got 2 swings left. If anybody's going down, it's going to be me, not you. You know, so yeah, this guy's getting all kinds of suggestions and all kind of help. It's not good.
That sucks. That really sucks.
Yeah. Sleepless nights. I could not imagine. So, and speaking of money and a money grab, Google is trying out some new ways to let you see your Instagram and TikTok clips.
Yeah, so this is really interesting. Google is trying to develop some software that would let you directly see the Instagram videos, the reels or whatever, and the posts from Instagram and TikToks and any of these other short videos natively inside of Google on your phone. The whole point of this is that if you're watching these things on the Google platform, in between videos, you see the Google ad, you don't see the Instagram ad. And so they get the money, and that's what this is all about. They just want you to spend a little bit longer looking at their platform.
Yeah, so that's when the rich just get richer and the big just get bigger. And, you know, because when you're big enough to take on Instagram, which is Facebook, that means you're Google.
Yeah, there's all of one corporation that can do that. And it's that corporation is doing that. We will talk about this a little bit later, that changes might be coming for this whole ecosystem. But as of right now, Google is big enough to do that, and they are throwing their weight around here.
Well, the one other company that might be close to either Google or Facebook is Microsoft. And they just had a rather big announcement, big being a relative term, about what you can do with Teams and OneDrive.
Yeah, big being the size of the file here. They've upped their cap limit. You can now move 250 gig files through OneDrive and through Teams.
So to give you some perspective, last year, this time, in January of 2020, the cap was 15 gigabytes of that you could move through. But in the summer, back in July, they upped it to 100 gigs. And now here it is just 6 months later, and they said that's probably not enough. Apparently they've had requests, or they've just gone so big. 250 gigabytes of optimal storage that you can upload is just amazing.
And that's not a total size. That is 250 gig files, which is massive. That is so big. It is difficult to wrap my head around.
That's a couple of hours of 4K video.
Yeah, that's as a single file. You know, if you're talking about CAD models, you're looking at an entire skyscraper here. This is so complex. This is so much data. And then to be able to say, yep, all right, just dump it all in and it'll show up on the other side. That is.
No, it's not going to just snap and go. I mean, it's going to take a little bit of time to move 250 gigs.
Oh, yeah. Even at a 1 gig Ethernet, you're still looking at a couple minutes. But
even if we're moving it inside a database from one server to the next, that's still going to take some time to push through, because you've got the bandwidth capabilities. Even if you've got a fiber connection between the two of them, that's still, if you're just moving 200 gigs, typical on Ethernet is a gig per hour.
Yeah, so that's 200 hours to move 200 gigs.
Yeah. Well, this is not going to happen that way, because this is all happening inside of Microsoft data centers. If you're going from OneDrive through Teams, so it's going to move much faster. But faster is relative in that it may, if you're pushing a 200 gig file from your OneDrive into a Teams folder, it still might take an hour, to push it through. I mean,
this is something that you set up, you know, on Friday, and you come back on Monday and you check the progress of it. This is that big.
Yeah. So not that there's a whole lot of demand for it. I'm sure there's all of 7 people in the world who this is really going to help, but Microsoft is there for them.
Oh, those people are so happy right now.
Yeah, you bet they are. But some people who probably are not going to be happy by the end of 2021 are the folks in big tech.
Yeah, this is something that we've previewed a little bit, but it is going to continue to be a thing. There's changes coming for social media, for your large corporations. You know, we're going to start to see some shakeups. For a long time, the government has been kind of laissez-faire about how, you know, big tech operates. But there are too many people in DC who, on both sides of the aisle, who are pants on fire, want something done about this.
So we talked back in December to Representative Garrett Graves and asked him about this, and he said, yeah, there's going to be some movement. And then the actions that happened in the first couple of weeks of January 2021, especially now with Parler and with the moves that Twitter and Facebook have done with the President Trump Twitter accounts and Facebook accounts and YouTube accounts.
And Snapchat and Instagram and Spotify.
And then some of the things that some of the Democrats, and this has been happening to both sides of the aisles. And so it's keep your powder dry, boys and girls, because it's going to be war. And the changes that this could have happen are unbelievable.
And it's important to know that it's, one, there have already been lawsuits filed by the Department of Justice that are antitrust lawsuits against several of the major companies. Google, Facebook, Apple, and Amazon have already had antitrust lawsuits filed against them in the past couple of weeks or couple of months. And especially now that the Democrats have control of the presidency, Senate, and the House, they're going to want to do something. And it's unclear what they're going to land on, but they are going to do something here.
Well, we know one thing they're going to land on is Section 230 of the 1996 Communications Decency Act. And when they start dipping into this thing, if they rip this Section 230 apart, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, they all go away.
Well, it's important to note that both Republicans and Democrats want it changed, but they want it changed very differently. The Republicans are upset because they're saying that it allows the platforms to censor free speech. The Democrats are upset because it says that the platforms don't have to censor free speech, or they don't have to do enough to moderate their content, basically. And so they're coming at it from opposite ends, and both are saying, hey, you're doing the wrong thing, and something wrong is being done, but they have very opposite solutions proposed.
So Section 230, for those of you new to the show, provides cover or insulation from anything that you post on their platforms. They cannot be held liable for. And so if you want to, you know, say the earth is flat and all kind of other silly things like that, you can do that. And Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and YouTube all just sit back and look, he's an idiot, but he's harmless. Okay, let him go. But when you start instigating riots, when you start spouting off death threats and things like that, you've now crossed to a different level. And so if you don't pull that kind of content down from your platform, because, hey, 230 says I can leave it up there, I get more eyeballs watching, I can sell more ads. Well, now we're in a bad situation.
And since the Capitol event, we have seen a lot of these social media corporations start to pull some of this content. But the question is, if they would have been more proactive, would we have prevented this event? And, you know, we've asked the question a lot about what is the right amount of leeway, what is the right amount of moderation, and we're seeing the effects of, you know, maybe there should have been more. So it's a very complicated question, and we're going to start to see some changes. It's impossible to predict what the changes are. I agree that they will go after 230, but how exactly they'll change 230 has yet to be seen.
The one thing that this is not, and people are confusing it with, this is not a First Amendment thing. This is strictly about Section 230, because the First Amendment allows you to stand up and speak your mind in public. 230 is about what you do on a social media platform.
To be more specific about it, the First Amendment specifically regards what the government can and can't do in regards to your speech. The government cannot limit your freedom of speech with some asterisks on that. And so that's why what is social media platform, obviously not being an arm of the government, they can choose what they want to allow or don't want to allow on their platform. And so that is why this is not a First Amendment. It is covered by something different. So if you think our conversation is interesting, we are here every Saturday at 4 p.m. on Talk 107.3 FM, and the show reruns Sundays at 4 p.m. You can check out our show in the podcast section of talk1073.com in the Blogs and On Demand tab. And previous episodes are also available as podcasts on every major podcast platform, including iTunes, Spotify, Podbean, Google Music, Amazon Music, Audible, and others.
We also want to thank MCO Technologies for sponsoring our show. MCO, for all your business computer network needs, whether it's Office 365, cybersecurity concerns, moving to the cloud, or managing your computer network, this is what we do. So give us a call, 225-925-8900, or on the web, mcotechnologies.com. And if you like our show, if you have some suggestions, let us know. We're on Twitter and Facebook. We're at Tech Gumbo Show. Or you can text us at 225-255-0431. You're listening to Tech Gumbo on Talk 107.3 FM, WBRP, Baton Rouge's new flavor of talk.